Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
There was a series of feel-good moments last night around the Sixers, which, frankly, I would say there had not been since April of 2024 in Game 5 versus the Knicks, when Tyrese Maxey saved that season by scoring, what was it, 8 points in the final whatever seconds to win? Was it 8 points?
Seven, I think.
Seven?
But, yeah.
So they hadn't had a feel-good moment in 14 months.
A long time.
Yeah, they hadn't had a feel-good moment in 14 months. Well, they had one last night. They had a series of them because of what happened, frankly, after Edgecombe was picked. Let's start with him being picked, the commissioner with the announcement as Edgecombe became a Sixer.
With the third pick in the 2025 NBA draft, the Philadelphia 76ers select VJ Edgecombe from Bimini, Bahamas and Baylor University.
All right, so you see him, and he gets up there on the stage, and the hug with the commissioner, and before that, hug with family and friends, and a lot of nice stuff, right? Good stuff. So now, whether it's the right pick or not, time will tell, and we will always judge him versus Ace Bailey, and that'll be fascinating to track. And we haven't had too many of them through the years. Maybe the last I can think of would be, well, give you a couple. You had Jordan Davis versus Hamilton, the safety in the Ravens. You obviously had Reger versus Justin Jefferson. And those were two that didn't work out. Although the Eagles won a Super Bowl with Jordan Davis. But, I mean, let's be real. Reger, Justin Jefferson was over one game into their career. You know, so every once in a while you got these scenarios. We'll always track those two players against each other. Now, Edgecombe.
Carson and Wentz and Goff, if it hadn't gone that way. We were doing
way.
It. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe Rams fans did, but we didn't because the Eagles didn't have a chance at Goff. All right. With that said, Edgecombe is the guy. Now, interview. Right after he's picked. It's like a minute or two later. He's talking to Monica McNutt from ESPN and ABC. I thought this was a really cool interview with a series of great moments. He's standing next to his mom and his brother. Here's what you need to know before you hear this audio. First question to the mom, but Edgecombe is the one that jumps in to answer because she is so overcome with emotion. Second question, you're going to hear the brother as the person primarily answering. Edgecombe jumps in on the back end of that one. Listen to this exchange. This was cool.
Tell me, what's going through your mind, Mom?
I'm going to tell her, man. Super excited. We came from nothing. Man. We're truly blessed just to be in this position, man. I know the emotion is high right now, so I'm going to just let her be right now, all right? But the emotion's super high, but we came from nothing. So that's why the emotions are so high right now, man.
In your feature, BJ, we saw you talking about playing basketball in the Bahamas, 12-year-old playing against men. I'm not going to ask you, that's your brother. When you saw your brother at 12 playing against big grown men, did you think that tonight was possible?
I'm actually lost for words right now. My brother saw this dream before I did or before anyone else in my family even did. I'm so proud of him. He got me in tears and I don't even cry.
Man, I don't know. I don't got no words either, man. I'm blessed. Me third pick. I mean, it's a dream come true, man. I spent countless years just sitting there watching draft, bro. So I don't even know. I don't know what to do, man.
You good, Mom? How proud are you of your son?
Proud. Super proud. Like you said, we came from nothing into everything. It's Bimini to the world. Bimini to the world.
So, John, I said it earlier. And by the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio day after Edgecombe becomes a Sixer. John, I said this earlier, and I think everyone knows it's true. What's going to matter most for all of us as Sixers fans is whether he was the right pick and can really play. That's number one. But with that said, last night, I mean, there was a series of things, and we'll get to the others in a moment, that felt on the heart, felt great. I mean, we hadn't felt some Sixers joy in over 12 months, John. This was joyful last night.
The family feel about the whole thing. You know, the thing that we celebrate about Tyrese Maxey is just his mindset, his approach, his positivity, the way that he can lift that organization at times, just like emotionally speaking. Now it feels like you got a partner in positivity with VJ.
In addition to McCain,
Tyrese,
who I think,
and McCain, who also was incredibly upbeat last year.
Here's what I put on Twitter right after after seeing some of those interviews. I said right on Twitter, I said, I so hope the Sixers can get good again. The joy that Maxey, McCain, and Edgecombe exhibit is so palpable. Philly will love these guys if they, and then I put in parentheses, and others can lead the Sixers back to glory. Because I know I've seen enough of Maxey to know he's not going to be the best player on a team that's a team that has glory. I mean, no offense to Maxey, he's just not that guy. Mm-hmm. And obviously in the short term, there's only one guy that can be that guy, and that's Joel Embiid. He's the only guy in the short term. Now look, there's an argument that at some point Embiid and Paul George will be moved on from, and these other guys might be around 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years from now, and that's a whole different type of team, and maybe those guys are all-star level players, and maybe even Edgecombe is better than that. Who knows? We'll see. But I know this. The way Edgecombe presented himself reminded me of Brandon Graham. And he became one of our favorite players ever. Maxey has that thing too. McCain has that thing too. There's a lot of joy now.
A lot of joy, but there's also
but they got to rebound and they got to block shots and they got to set picks and they got to score in the paint.
Well, he's talking
and
about
they're going to need help. Is my point. They're going to need help.
He's talking about how his atmosphere, his environment growing up, molded him into who he is, and some of that who he is a tough young man.
That's very clear.
Toughness is part of what he gleaned from the way he was raised, and that's exactly what we're looking for.
When they also say
he's
a leader.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's exactly what we were missing from Ben Simmons. That's exactly one of the things we are missing from Joel Embiid.
Yeah, no, so, and I agree with that, too.
Yeah, this is, like, the toughness part is exciting. The toughness part is absolutely critical in basketball. And let's see. Let's you show us.
Yeah.
I'd love to see this.
So let's listen to Daryl Morey. He had a pretty late press conference last night talking about Edgecombe. Let's listen to his opening statement when he addressed the pick. Here's what Morey said.
We're super excited about VJ, what he can bring to the team. Brings a dynamic athlete, potential all-star, two-way player. Really helped his team. He's got all these winning qualities that we think really fit. Great teammate. His story and what he's done to get to this point is really unbelievable. And we think he's on a great trajectory to take where he's come from and continue to improve through Baylor all the way through a very long and very promising NBA career, and we're excited it's here at the 76ers.
All right, so that's Morey. Now, I want to play one more piece of audio, then we're getting right back to the phones, because you can react to all of this at 215-592-9494. And that one more piece of audio is Edgecombe, something that he said a few minutes after that interview you heard with Monica McNutt. He then also talked to NBA TV. And I thought this was even more special than the other stuff. This is him answering a question. He's got his mom there, the whole deal. Listen to this exchange last night.
What were the moments you remember most about just the way your mom poured into you throughout your life and your career?
Man, them long nights. Long nights. I'm telling you, I lived off a generator. I had no electricity. I lived off a generator for 7 years. Man, seeing what she had to go through? To feed us, man. It's crazy. It's crazy, but I don't even know, man. My mind everywhere right now, man.
I mean, listen, you got a big old lump of coal in your heart if that doesn't move you. Right?
Gotta play crying on the morning show.
That's true.
But I loved it, man. I mean, I thought
beautiful.
That was...
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Yeah, it really is.
It is beautiful. We hope he can play at a very high level. What we know, he's supposed to be able to play at a pretty high level, but we hope he can take that higher. Look, if he's a complimentary piece, then he's a complimentary piece. And maybe they did mess up not taking Ace Bailey, who maybe will be the better player. But I know this, in a couple minutes last night, I was like, man, I'm rooting hard for this guy. hearing the story and the way he presented and the mom. Even John, little thing. I'll give you one more little thing. That first thing from about 5 minutes ago we played, when he jumped in when the question was to his mom, but she's overcome by emotion, he jumps in within about 2 to 3 seconds to answer, mm-hmm. is a little sign of leadership in there.
100%.
Right, he's stepping in to help mom.
I'm super impressed.
Right,
Rand? Yeah.
Because he didn't wait 7 seconds.
No, he didn't let it get awkward. He was like, I got to take care of mom.
Yeah, I'm taking care of mom.
I love that.
I thought, like, that's leadership.
Yep.
So the little things matter. And I thought that was pretty cool.
But it also requires, it's leadership, but it's also the bravery to step forward. Like that initial burst,
totally.
That initial, like, he's got what's required to be a leader.
Be a pro.
Yes.
That's what it sounded like to me. Let's go to Eagle Shirley. Shirley, how you been?
Oh, good morning, family. Y'all got me up in here tearing. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. VJ was my pick. I put it out there before we got our pick, before the Sixers picked, who I wanted, and I was elated, I was excited, jumping up and down, and because there's something in that young man, besides the story, you got somebody that's so hungry, and I know Ace Bailey and all the other, you know, people want Ace Bailey, something like, but I'm looking at Philadelphia. I'm looking at how we made up, how the things that we done went through and still going through, and how, well, you know, when our backs is up against the wall, you know what I mean? We come out swinging, like how to Philadelphia Eagles. You know what I mean? That's why I'm upset right now at our Philadelphia Phillies, because y'all better than this. I got y'all aces up there, and y'all can't give them no score to help them out. But when I watched the draft last night, and when we got who I wanted, VJ, I saw a dog in him. I saw that hunger in him. But when that man got up and he spoke on behalf of his mother and shared what he said about how they was. I'm like, that's us all day. That's Rocky. That's our story. That's us. Man, how can you not get excited about this guy?
I agree.
And we don't know. We don't know if the Sixers are finished. We don't know what's going to happen with Joel Embiid. But I'm excited because you got the hungry guys that could not finish playing. We set out so early. I had partial season tickets that I was just giving away because I was so angry at what how our season went down. You see what I'm saying? I love my Sixers. I love all my team. But that draft pick last night, that did it for me, y'all. I'm telling you. I'm staying in my car. I can't even go on my job yet because I got tears coming down my eyes. You got to stop playing that damn horse.
I hear you, Shirley. I hear you.
I love you all, Rhea.
Thank you.
I love you all, James. Thank you all for taking my call. God bless.
Shirley, you can win a prize. You got to give me who blew it. Come on, who blew it?
I'm about to blow it if I don't go get ready for work.
All right, get to work. Right. Shirley, thank you.
That was a good one.
Thank you,
Shirley.
That's pretty good. Well, are the Sixers still standing or not? I don't know. It took a step forward last night. Good morning to you. Some more audio of Edgecombe and Maury and reaction from the analysts. We're also going to do this segment around 8:45 or so, some life advice with the hammer. Now, what do you need help with in life? I'm going to try to get you some great advice. Get to Seltzer on Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Three ways you can interact with the show in addition to the phone line. Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Let them know what you need some advice about, and he'll throw one of those scenarios to me. Let me give you some early advice. Listen to WIP today from 10 to 2. Because Joe and Hugh will be broadcasting from Jason Kelsey's event down the shore.
Nice.
So make sure you check out 10 to 2. I don't know what all the plans are.
Did you see Jason
drinking.
Yesterday?
I believe drinking is the plans. Yes.
Jason's got a sweet
Speedo.
Yeah, I did see that. That was.
He knows how to make a scene. You know what I'm saying?
He really does.
So I would imagine 10 to 2, they'll probably have, you know, various guests on, you know, hopefully Kelsey at some point, maybe some of his teammates or former teammates. So check out the show from 10 to 2. Should be great. All right. So Ace Bailey will not be a teammate of Joel and Maxi and McCain and et cetera, et cetera. It was the Sixers' decision. They had the choice, and they went with Edgecombe instead. Now, maybe it's just because they believe he'll be better. Maybe it's because they think he's a safer pick. Maybe they don't believe in Ace Bailey, or maybe they did believe in Ace Bailey's talent but didn't believe in Ace Bailey the guy. I don't know. I do know this. I didn't agree with Stephen A's analysis right before the pick of why the Sixers shouldn't take Ace Bailey. So listen to something Stephen A. said. You be the judge of whether he's right or wrong. We've all lived through the process. Then 7 years of making the playoffs, and then a disastrous year where the whole situation feels like it's beyond limbo. It doesn't feel great. I don't agree with what Stephen A. said. Listen.
Let's talk about what they shouldn't do and what they can't do, which I teased on SportsCenter. This guy Bailey, that refused to work out for anybody. We don't know. We don't want to blame him. But in the end, you're grown. You're a young man. And your leaders, your representation is telling you not to work out for people. You can't be the team that had the process and you were throwing seasons for years. You can't be the team that had Ben Simmons that just spent the number one pick on. And we all know his story. We'll be nice tonight because it's the NBA draft. It's about these kids. It's not about him. But the kind of stuff that happened with him, you can't then turn around and ask the Philadelphia public, oh, we gonna take a dude that we didn't get to work out, that we didn't get to interview, that we didn't get to talk to or anything like that. That can't be who you spent a number three pick on.
All right, so you be the judge. Rhea, who's right, me or Stephen A.? I'm saying his reason is wrong. Who's right?
I would say this about Stephen, and I love Stephen.
I did
I've known him forever.
Yeah.
The yelling was a little too much at that point. I mean, they were about to make the pick. And I just went, what do you, Steven, settle down just a little bit.
He's doing his
thing. I know, screaming A, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, he made his own bed by, you know, what they did. It wasn't up to the Sixers. I wanted them to pick him.
Yeah.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I think he has a higher ceiling, but it was a higher risk. But, yeah, I don't agree with him either.
Yeah, I mean, we could have dealt with it, right? I mean,
yeah.
If he turned into the better player, then...
No one cares.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
No one cares. I mean, Morey himself even said that him not showing up wasn't a factor in the decision to pick him or not. Now, he may be telling the truth, he may be lying. By the way, let me go back to telling the truth or lying. Dombrowski, with what he said about Bryson right field, might want to do otherwise, but he might be covering for Bryce if Bryce doesn't want to play right field.
100%. That was my first thought.
Right?
Now, so, again, I also think that the arm is part of it, too.
Might
like,
be.
You know?
Might be. All right.
Well,
a
Pete Alonso was out there. Not that
he's a free agent this offseason.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Look, you don't have to say it twice to me, Rhea.
Pete Alonso was out there this offseason.
I watched the Phillies two nights in a row score 0-0.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know.
It's painful to watch them.
It can be tough. And they are missing the effect of Harper.
Sure.
I mean, it's, oof.
But it's like, you get to the sixth inning and I'm going, oh, come on.
You do. Well, look, this is where you really need right now. You need Castellanos, Schwarber, Boehm, and Trey.
They were picking up for
they
him.
They were for a time. But has there been a point this year where Casty carried them at any point? I don't think so, right?
No. Look, Schwarber and Turner have been really good this year.
Yeah. And Schwarber and Turner, right. Yeah.
Like, it can't be on them to be the entire offense. That's the issue.
Now, Boehm picked it up for the month. We got to give him that credit.
But again, it's still and he's been good. No, you know, I'm not ripping him, but again, he's still got to drive the ball. He's got to lift the ball more. But he has been much better.
He does. All right, so a lot to chew on. The Phillies thing. Ridiculous that it's an earned run against Wheeler. If you missed it, ball goes under Trey's glove. I mean, he's going to his left, but come on, make the play. And Philly still would have lost the game, but it shouldn't be an earned run against Wheeler. So a lot on the Phils, and then a lot on the draft pick last night. One more thing. Let's listen to Stephen A's analysis of Edgecombe. Because right after that, the pick happened, and then his analysis of Edgecombe. Let's listen to Stephen A.
They raved about his athleticism, his talent, his work ethic, but they also said they were a bit nervous from his private workouts and unnatural one-on-one drills that they put him through. Nevertheless, you have to take him because Bailey and what was being said about him, you are the Philadelphia 76ers. You could not afford to roll the dice on somebody who wouldn't even give you an interview or a workout. It could not happen. So you had no choice but to take Edgecombe, but this brother can play. He's got a lot of potential.
So he just doubled down
on his guy.
Wow.
He basically just said, yeah, okay.
He's like, here, let me give you my analysis of Edgecombe. Here's why they had to draft him, because the other guy. But he's like, eh, but the guy can play. All right.
That was
all
it. Right. That, kind of an aside. That was 1 second at the end. The boy can play.
That's analysis right there.
Oh, man. All right, Anthony.
Did you see his jacket? Did
Stephen
you
see
the fan? No, no.
No, BJ's. Edgecombe.
Oh, Edgecombe. Yeah, yeah,
the
sure.
Inside
yeah.
with the family. It's cool. All his family.
Beautiful.
Like, this guy is driven for the right reason.
I
love that part. Remember Ben Simmons being held back by his family. Ben Simmons being entitled because of his family.
I agree.
You know, because they blew so much smoke up his butt for so long, they made him think he was something he wasn't. And this is a kid who just wants to prove, wants to help, who wants to rise, you know, bring his family with him because he's trying to win in life and get them to where they need
to
be.
Well, John, I'm gonna get some audio coming up shortly here of answers last night from Edgecombe that were the exact opposite of Ben Simmons' answer. Exact.
I got
a whole bunch to go to.
Good, because we are better informed now, and I can't wait to hear this.
We'll get to that shortly. Let's go to Anthony in New Jersey. Anthony, how are you, bud?
I just known I was going to be on with Boban later, man. I was going to trash talk him.
Wait, Anthony, I'll put you on hold.
I like this. You want to hang in here?
Yeah, you want to talk to Fritz at 9?
Yeah, I want to talk to Boban.
Love this. Right, have we ever had a call? I mean, every once in a while they'll be like at work or something, but in terms of I want to wait to talk later is rare. That's good work.
I appreciate that. Just avoid the curses next time. Come on, man. Let's go to Gary in Vineland. Gary, what's going on, dude?
Hammer, man, you need to tell Andy from Deptford. One thing I might have done was beat the live and the hot out of you last time we played on Beat the Air.
Oh, thank you, sir. You're right. That's 5-0, if I remember right.
Yes. He came out firing on you, and you crushed him last time.
Sure did. Thank you, sir.
We need to get out there and get – I just want a player on the Phillies that's just straight up rake. Just get on base, smart, have a plan. Like, it seems like – my biggest thing with the hitting coach, do these guys have a plan when they go up there? Like when Rojas was on the, 2-0 count, like, think.
Yeah.
It's funny because I want someone who's going to hit the ball at the ballpark right now. That's where I'm at offensively.
Yeah, I kind of want someone who just puts the ball in play.
I want someone who hit home run. Man, these guys have been putting it in play. It's all they do is hit singles. Like, give me some freaking home runs,
James,
man.
On this one.
Yes.
Somebody hit one.
That's who wins every year. The team that's the most home runs.
Gary, go ahead.
Yeah, I just bring me somebody. I'm just so tired of once you get past, you know how exciting it was when you knew like Chooch would come up and he would come up with a big hit. Like these guys just don't, they shrivel when the lights are on.
Look, here's the one thing I'll say, Gary. And I love Ruiz. God, do I love him. But let's not over-glorify. I mean, if I looked up his career average, I bet you it's around 250. So, you know.
He would get that clutch hit when you need it with runners in scoring position. He didn't have a hit for average, but he was clutch.
I don't know, man. Anyway, give me a great answer here, my man. You can win the $100 gift card at Joseph Anthony Spa and Salon. Who or what blew it?
This guy was a co-host for this show, and he was like, "Nah, I'm not about that," and quit. The other guy ended up making $500 million off of the show. And Dunkelman walked away from it.
Wait, which man? I'm sorry.
Brian Dunkelman, the American Idol, him and Seacrest, the first season. Now, I thought he got fired. I don't know if he walked away or got fired. That's an important clarification, I would say, for whether he blew it or not.
Yeah, but getting fired, if it's for a justified reason, is a form of blowing it.
Like
Suzanne Summers got fired. Suzanne Summers got fired from Three's Company because she was a pain in the ass. Right? So, I mean, sometimes that happens. But I'll write it down. Dunkelman and so I looked up Carlos Ruiz's average. James, take a guess. Career average, Carlos Ruiz, 12 seasons.
I don't know, like 270?
I am very surprised that it's this high. It's 264.
Yeah,
with a 350 career on base percentage.
That's a pretty good guess, 270.
It's 350 on base is very solid for a catcher over
phenomenal.
12 over 12 years.
Really
good. That's better than I thought. All right, let's talk to Frank in Philadelphia. Frank, good morning.
Hey, guys. Morning theme. How's everything going?
Great, Frank.
Good to talk
I could
to
call
guys,
my so. Dog Chooch.
You could.
Carl.
By the way, apparently Dunkelman did choose to leave, so that's a big answer.
Okay. And what show was it?
American Idol. Okay. It was him and Seacrest were the two hosts of American Idol. Listen. He left, and Ryan Seacrest became Ryan Seacrest.
Could win.
Whoa, yeah.
Could win.
Yeah.
All right, Frank, go ahead, pal.
So a couple things. You know, the Sixers, I mean, I hope these kids can really do something, but we have three guys under 6'4 right now that we're counting on. I don't have any faith in Beat and George.
Well, one will probably have to get traded.
And I mean, he's 6'5".
Yeah.
He's 6'5", yeah. But one will probably be traded, whether it's this year or next year. I don't think these three guys are playing together 2 years from now. I just don't.
Yeah. The Phillies continue to show that they can't hit good pitching. So I'm out on them. I've been out on them.
I don't think that's true at all. I mean,
they hit that guy from the Mets on Sunday.
Good pitching. I mean, honestly, the last two guys, the guy who pitched last night, he's had 8 starts. Like, it's not like, yeah, he's not some superstar. Like,
today's pitcher you should be concerned about.
Yeah, today's pitcher's legit. Hunter Brown's good. Yeah. Really, really good. And Framber's good. But yeah. I just don't think it's a... I just think they're hot and cold. Like, it's a streaky team. Like, I don't think it's about what pitching they're facing. It's about what day it is.
I agree with that.
Fair point. Fair point. And, Joe, I wanted to get to my final point here.
Sure.
About this golf outing. So,
yeah.
You know, if we're talking about you playing in the hundreds, and I played college golf, I was in the PGA program for a little bit. If you're playing at 100 as your score, like your average score.
And probably more and like 105. Guy, yep.
Yeah, and Fritz is somewhere around an 8. It's a disparate advantage for him.
Yep.
Just because, and I believe that you should be getting shots, even if you're getting 80% of the differential.
Not doing it.
I know.
They're playing match play, which is already a help to Joe.
So, Frank,
if they just played 9 holes, Jack would murder
Frank,
him.
I appreciate you. You know, a couple people have suggested that to me, but the basic thing is that strips away the concept of who's the better athlete. I mean, who's the better athlete isn't, you know, a handicap.
Is that really what we're...
Match play does help you. We haven't talked about it, but match play is your only chance.
James.
You know.
I negotiated a good deal.
I'm sure you did. Yes,
I got
exactly.
it to match play, and I got it to 9 holes.
Yeah, match play is massive.
I knew exactly what I was doing. All right? Exactly.
All right. And I do have a who blew it for you guys.
Yeah, Fritz with the terms of the deal.
You should have never agreed to match play. It's crazy.
Go ahead, Frank.
How about the Atlanta Falcons and Dan Quinn blowing
non-sports. It's a great answer.
Yeah, we need a non-sports answer.
I don't have one then.
All right.
Appreciate the time.
Could have been a winning sports answer if we were doing that.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of sports, let's get more of Edgecombe, what he said after the draft last night. So this is one of many things he said that reminded me of the opposite of the Ben Simmons mentality. Let's get to Edgecombe after the pick. He did a press conference. Listen to something he said.
I know that they have two young guards in Maxey and McCain. Have they given you any sort of an inclination about what it might be like for you there?
It's the NBA, and they ain't gonna promise you nothing either. It's the NBA, they ain't gonna promise you nothing. You got, like I said, you got grown men fighting for their jobs. And I'm just going in there, whatever coach needs me to do, I'm gonna go do. That's it, whatever coach needs me to do, I'm gonna go do. That requires me coming off the bench, that requires me starting, playing alongside both Maxey and McCain, playing with one of them at the same time. I mean, it don't matter. I'm just going there to play. Whatever Coach Nurse need me to do, I'm going to go do it.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, did you ever hear Ben Simmons say anything
like
that?
You know what I heard him say?
Ever.
I'm a point guard. I'm going to play point guard.
Right.
That's what I'm going to do.
I mean, John, ever? Like, ever? Did he ever have any answer like that?
I don't even think that he was, like, polite enough to be, like, doing the I'm a point guard thing. I think he expected us to read his mind. He expected the coaches to read his mind and just know.
He was so smug in interviews.
He was. He was so smug.
I mean, it's
smug and entitled, which is similar but not exactly the same thing.
He's a spoiled brat.
He's a brat.
That's the opposite of what you've got in DJ Edgecombe.
I agree.
Which is perfect for us.
So, Edgecombe also, I thought, demonstrated some awareness of Philadelphia. I mean, obviously, he knew he could be drafted here. So he, you know, did some homework and naturally knows the NBA. I mean, he talked about, you know, watching the drafts all the year. So he showed, I thought, some Philadelphia awareness after being picked last night.
Philadelphia and their fans, a lot has been said about them. What would it mean to you to win there specifically?
Now, it would mean a lot. I mean, it's been a minute since they won. So, you know, just going there and being that piece that's going to help them get over the hump would mean a lot to me, would mean a lot to the fans, the owners, all that. So, you know, I'm excited to go out there and see what we can do.
All right, so he's got a sense of, like, we could use the help.
It's been a minute.
Yep. Rhea and I were both like, yeah,
he's
minute.
Kind.
Oh, it has.
He's already being kind to us.
Yes.
Longest minute of all time. All right.
Now, what matters most, of course, is whether he can really truly play. All these nice comments are great and nice, but what matters most is whether he can really play. Let's listen to Kevin O'Connor. Kevin does a great job covering the Sixers in the NBA, Yahoo Sports, last night, right after the pick. His analysis of it, his immediate reaction, here's what Kevin said.
I'll give it an A-.
Okay.
I think with Edgecombe, I think ideally I would have loved the Sixers to be able to trade down, but if a deal's not there, it's not there. And so for Edgecombe going here, I think it is the best choice for them over Ace Bailey, over Trey Johnson, who I love, but I think is a little bit too redundant next to McCain and Maxey. But Edgecombe fits the best and has arguably the highest upside.
All right.
So was it just to like interpret that the only reason he gave an A- was that they didn't trade down? He thought it was the right pick for the Sixers, yeah. But he thought it could have gotten later. Is that the implication?
I think the implication
is... it was a little confusing. He's like, right pick, perfect guy for them. But
I think what he's saying is he thought they could have gotten him at 4 or 5, maybe, and picked up something else in the process.
Okay.
That's the way I interpret it. All right, let's go to Mark right now in the Lehigh Valley. Hi, Mark.
Hey, good morning team. How are we doing today?
Doing great, Mark.
Good. Real quick about, the Sixers, obviously the main topic of the day, and then a quick hypothetical Phillies trade that I think would really benefit, but they'd be giving up some big pieces. So VJ Edgecombe, great pick. I mean, how can you not be thrilled with how he is presenting himself for this city? It's still, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here, but it seems like they're still just relying on Embiid too much. And the time has passed. The time has come and gone for Embiid to be the focus and surround him with these qualities.
I agree with you, Mark, with one possible exception. They may not be, quote, relying on Embiid. It may just be what it is. Like, we don't know that they could have traded Embiid last night for the 20th pick in the draft. I don't know. Like, if you said to the world, hey, world, you can take him, but you got to take this big old contract. You want him. We don't know that anybody would take him. So I don't know that. So, well, I tend to agree with you. So my point is, your main point that you led with, that they're still building around Embiid, may be true or may not be true. They may just be stuck with him.
Yeah. I mean, didn't Morey kind of say that? I don't know if he said or we're reading between the lines, or I'm reading between the lines here, but didn't he kind of brought up the fact that Embiid is not the focal point, I guess, anymore, but like he's still obviously a huge part of.
He said we need him. Mark, what he said is we need him.
Right.
You know, so, like that's what he said. Now, he also said some stuff about, you know, the progress from the recovery and it's going well and tracking the right way.
Attacking rehab.
It's nominal. Yeah. Nominal,
but,
guys.
He doesn't have the heart. He doesn't have the will and that push. He's got all this God-given talent, arguably the best God-given talent the NBA might have ever seen. I mean, obviously we get into it.
Well, let's not go ever, but he was up there.
Right.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't have the will. He doesn't have the drive. Like he cares more about eating Chick-fil-A and stuff like that as opposed to caring about his own body. But anyway, so it's exciting with VJ's come, I guess. Yeah. And that's the whole point. But
all right, Mark, give me what you got on the Phillies there, bud.
Yeah, quick hypothetical trade. I'll give my answer for who blew it, and then you guys can potentially discuss. But anyways, for the Phillies, I saw this online a little bit ago, and they'd be giving up a lot, but I think they'd be getting someone who would benefit them hugely. They'd have to give up Alec Bohm, and this is if you guys would do this. Alec Bohm, Andrew Painter, and I'm drawing a blank on the guy, the third baseman.
Aiden Miller?
Sosa?
Aiden Miller.
So you're trading their top two.
Wait. Gunnar Henderson from the Orioles.
This is where I turn to James.
Gunnar Henderson's one of the best players in baseball. He's really good. I think it's too much. Like, I don't think you're giving up Aiden Miller and Painter because Gunnar's going to have to get a contract in the next few years.
Right.
Like, so
a lot of money.
I think it's too much to give up for Gunnar, but Gunnar is a stud.
Yeah, that's understandable. And I kind of had a feeling that that's what you were going to say, Jimmy, but I was curious to hear your opinion.
Anyways, the answer is Hoop Lewis. So, not-
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you guys know, Matt Damon blew it. James Cameron offered him 10% of gross income from Avatar series.
Oh, Avatar, that's right. Avatar, my fault. Yeah, Avatar.
The series.
Yeah, I did hear Damon interviewed.
Two of the top three highest grossing movies of all time are Avatar 1 and Avatar 2.
Why did he turn it down?
What did he have to put
in? He made like $2 billion each or whatever.
Yeah, I think he was making a Bourne movie at that time, I think it was in that range.
So it was, act in my Avatar movie and you'll get 10% of the
2%.
Gross? 2%.
2%, right, James?
I couldn't hear what he said. I just knew that he turned down. I don't know what it was.
I thought he said 10%.
I thought he said 2, but I could be wrong.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought he said
10%.
That's
crazy.
It's got 200 million.
Two. Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, 2%.
It's got to be 2%. Yeah. Even then, 2%.
Holy
God. 20 million, whatever.
Whoa. Hopefully, he's doing okay.
Yeah. He is doing good. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Let your journey begin in the completely redesigned 2025 Equinox from Armin Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Poll question, do you like the 76ers selection of VJ Edgecombe, yes or no? You can vote at SportsRadio WIP on Twitter. All right, the last caller referenced some of Daryl Morey's comments from last night. Let's give you what I think he was discussing. So a lot of guards now on the roster. There was a question about how Edgecombe will fit. Morey made a point to reference that they need the big guy. Let's listen to something Daryl Morey said.
How do you see VJ fitting with Tyrese and Jared and Quentin if you can bring him back?
Yeah, so I really like how things are shaping up. I mean, I think we'll have one of the best backcourts in the league, with Grimes and Maxey and Jared McCain and now VJ. So I do think, like, the way the NBA is going, I think you saw some of these teams playing dynamic, up-tempo with multiple guards that put the defense in jeopardy. And, you know, we do have to have our man guy in the middle. I felt for the players and Coach Nurse specifically last year trying to put a defense on the floor with Joel out. And, obviously Drummond was hurt. So we didn't, Bona stepped up late, which was exciting. But it's very hard to, if you have like a bunch of dynamic guards, it's hard to make it all work if you don't have a big in there who's making things hard on the other team.
Ain't wrong.
For the players and Coach Nurse trying to field team last year, it didn't seem like he was coming to Coach Nurse's rescue very often.
No, it did not.
Not once. Felt like he vanished.
That was pathetic.
Last season.
Yeah.
I find that so incredibly insincere, that statement right there.
Well, you know what, John?
I felt bad for Coach Nurse. Really?
He probably did, but he didn't do enough to cover for him.
He did nothing to cover for him.
Hung him out to dry
repeatedly.
And I'm telling you, watching Bob Myers last night on TV, and I've seen him now for a year or two on TV covering the NBA, but watching him with the draft, like really the way he thinks.
So you really think Bob Myers needs to be our GM?
Yes.
Yes.
100%. He built the Warriors.
Would he consider going
Listen to the way he thinks.
Robert.
That's the kid.
Bobby.
No. But listen to the way he thinks. That's what impressed me. Obviously, his track record is very impressive. And I guess it kind of ran its course in Golden State. He was out there for a long while. But he won 4 titles.
A lot of success.
Well.
It ran its course, and that course was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, listening to Bob Myers last night, I'm like, sign me up for this guy. One more thing, though, for Morey, because obviously it was Morey's decision on Edgecombe or Ace Bailey. He talks about the Ace Bailey thing. Here's what Daryl Morey said.
Why were you told Ace Bailey didn't want to work out for you, and your thoughts on when a player doesn't want to work out, period?
It was pretty opaque. I mean, I spoke to the agents, so did Elton, so did Prosper, so did a lot of the key folks on our staff. He didn't work out with anybody, so that was just their plan. So it was just their general plan. And I don't try to judge. They were doing what they thought was best for them. We were doing what's best for us, and it had no impact on the decision.
Could be true. Could not true. I mean, impossible to know, but that's the way he presented it. All right, with that said, let's do a little life advice with the hammer.
My life's a waste of time.
It's time.
I'm a tool.
For life advice with the hammer.
You know how rock bottom your life gotta be to get life advice from Joe the Camera?
The hammer.
All right. I'm an idiot. Life advice. Listen to, from 9 to 10 today when we have Jack Fritz on. It's going to be interesting. I don't know which direction it's going to go. We poking at each other. We making fun of each other. I want to give him an assist and help him with the book. But I also got to let him know he's going to lose in this sports competition. So it'll be an interesting hour. Life advice brought to us by MHS Lift. If you're looking for forklifts, a warehouse, efficiency assessment, any type of material handling equipment, or if your equipment needs repairs, get yourself to MHSLift.com. Seltzer, what does someone need help with?
Yeah, people probably should listen around 9. It could help this person as well. Here's what? The question. Okay. Hey, Hammer. I'm competing against a guy in athletic competition.
Come on.
And I'm having him over for a chat in about 15 minutes. How should I handle it? Should I kill him with kindness? Should I try and get in his head? I'm just not sure what to do. Help me, Hammer.
Yeah, when people make these questions up, they're such loser domes. They All right. So the question is, what's my strategy in the hour with Fritz?
I think that's pretty clearly what's
my
being
main
asked.
Strategy, probably, and this may not make for the greatest radio, is to not poke him. Listen, I want Fritz to feel confident.
Oh, look at you.
I'm gonna Lou Holtzum him. I'm gonna SMU can beat us. We're 1988 Notre Dame, and Fritz. Listen, Fritz is gonna win golf. I mean, I've been on the record saying that.
You're already doing it.
So this is, like, if I win golf, that's just a little bonus, right? I'm not going to win golf. What am I going to win golf? So, I don't know. I'll probably.
This is all so pretend. That's the thing. He doesn't realize how pretend it really is.
I don't know, man.
It's like you're sitting back, kicking your feet up, like, you know, if he wins golf, he's going to win golf, man. He's so good. Compared to you,
well,
at golf.
He is, apparently.
He's really good at golf.
That's what people say. I think my main strategy, James, because I got Rhea on my side, and Rhea, mm-hmm. I've appreciated that for about 2 months.
Yes.
I think my main thing for the 9 o'clock hour is to win over John and James.
Ooh, I
like
this.
My own teammates here, my own co-hosts, who just, for some reason, I'm okay if you don't think I'm going to lose. If you think I'm going to, I'm fine with that. Most people think I'm going to lose. But I would appreciate the support. I mean, we sit here every day together for 4 hours.
I think it's a joke. I mean, I really do.
I mean, seriously, I could use.
But the problem is, if we don't believe that you're going
to
win athletically, no, it's not.
Because
we're reacting to you being like, I'm going to win. I'm a better athlete. I'm so much better. I'm going to crush Fritz. Oh,
you
I'm
are
so much better.
So he's arrogant.
He's a Boban.
You are so arrogant.
Yes.
It's impossible to be supportive.
Yeah, but
and
once,
especially
once
because
Fritz
it
quit.
Seems like you're unaware of your own shortcomings.
Fritz thinks he's going to win also, for what it's worth. He thinks
because
he's going to win 5-0.
He's much better at all of these things than you are.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say this.
I truly believe that part. Jimmy, do you believe that part? Like, Jack Fritz.
Oh, yeah.
What?
No,
what's
I do
his
think
age
Joe,
again?
31.
31, Joe.
Yeah, 16 years younger.
Okay.
31-year-old.
I'll just say the lack of support.
It is driving me crazy.
I mean, help a brother out here, man. I mean, come on.
Should I pretend like I think you're going
to
win?
Yeah, don't pretend nothing. I mean, listen, you either choose.
You win us over then.
I'll do my best. I'm just saying you can choose to support me or not.
I'm also Jack's teammate. If we're being real, we do a Phillies podcast.
Hey, a little podcast.
Oh.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah, and I'm also Jack's
teammate. I
mean,
I got Jack hired here.
Okay.
I was the one who recommended him to Spike Eskin to hire him as a producer. Like, Jack's my guy, you know?
Jack's my guy, too.
Wow. And who hired you, James, to begin
That's
your career
true.
In you broadcasting?
Did. Wow.
Like, I
James,
brought you
come
into
on.
The
Good
industry.
Sit around. Good sit around. I mean, I was undeniable to
You
be
and
hired,
I would
though.
Go out to dinner. How many times did we go out to dinner?
A fair amount. You were very kind with your time.
You know, I was really trying to look out for a young...
I have your back in most things in life.
I always paid.
Joe always paid. Every time.
Joe always paid. Now you have to support him.
Right?
Really?
I do support you. I just don't support your athletic ability.
I'm not asking you to support that. I'm asking you to support the person.
We've seen.
I am supporting you. I'm just. I can't. I can't do it at the expense of. I have to support. Yeah. I have to support both you guys. I'm
That's
you know.
Your choice. All right. And with that,
you want me
real.
To just shoot Jack down and just crush him?
That's a little life advice with the hammer. Fair enough. And there it is. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's get
Wouldn't
to...
Wouldn't be a very good teammate, would I?
I am looking forward to the 9 o'clock hour when we have Fritz in here. I don't know what direction... To answer the question, sir, I don't know what direction it'll go. We shall see. I do want to help him sell some books also, and I want to find out the genesis of his idea to write this book, because it's pretty darn cool. He's written a book about the Phillies and Phillies history, so we'll get into that as well. Let's talk to Dustin in Northeast Philly. Hi, Dustin.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How are you?
Doing great, Dustin.
Oh, it's been a while since I got to talk to you guys. Hey, Rhea, how are you?
Hello, Dustin.
How you been?
Great.
Joe, Seltz is right, man. That match play, that's your saving grace. You get a couple pars in you, maybe tie him on a couple holes, maybe steal a couple from
Correct.
Him. That's your best bet.
Listen, Dustin, trust me when I tell you I knew what I was doing when I set the stakes for this thing.
Oh, trust me when I tell you.
I feel
I
so rewarded by
I know
that.
I know how Joe DeCamera rolls. You know
Correct.
What I mean? So I know he wasn't putting himself in a tough spot.
Well, yeah. Listen, it's still a tough spot because he is a significantly better golfer. But getting it to 9 holes match play, look, I'm just hoping we have like 4 pushes and, you know, I win, what would that be? I win 3, he wins 2, and we tie on 4, and then and bang, and I won the competition. I mean, that is possible.
Not for nothing, Joe. I know you're trying to play the upper hand here and say you're not going to take strokes. If you were to play in a league play or anything like that, the handicap is part of the game.
I can't look at prime Tiger Woods and say, all right, you versus me, let's find out who's a better golfer. Oh, and by the way, one of us has a 55 stroke advantage going in. No. That wouldn't make me a better golfer than Tiger Woods. You know, come
all
on
right,
now.
All right. Well, listen, I got a question. Nobody talks about this.
Okay.
But Joel Embiid gets so much slack because of how much time he misses. And I know when he goes out, he's not fully committed all the time. He's not always showing the best effort. And it's a little bit different with Bryce. But when are we going to start talking about Bryce missing extended periods of time throughout the season? It's been happening in the past 3 years.
Yeah, it has.
And nobody ever talks about it. Like, we're paying this dude $330 million, and I understand it's freak accidents. He's getting those high fastballs up that are hitting him in the wrist. But not for nothing, dude misses
it's
at
a long
least
time.
40% yeah. of each season.
Well, they are legit injuries, but look, it does make him a less valuable player than he otherwise would be, and it makes it a concern for moving forward. Dustin, they are 3 games away from the halfway point of his Phillies tenure. I mean, at least as signed through. So it's a 13-year deal, and in 3 days – he will be exactly halfway through the deal. 6.5 years in 3 days. And
it's only the first season, the one he made it through without getting injured?
Well, 21 was when he was MVP, so I would assume he was healthy the whole time then. And a pandemic was obviously only 60 games or whatever. So, Dustin, it's a legitimate concern. But I'll say this. I'm not ripping Bryce for it. I'm lamenting it, but I'm not going to rip him for it. I mean, it's a bummer, but he's had legitimate injuries.
I know. And listen, so my dad, Steve from Willow Grove, he calls you guys a lot more than I do.
Sure.
Right now he's in Punta Cana. I was talking to him this morning, and they were watching the game at the swim-up bar last night, right? He's sitting next to a Washington Nationals fan. A Washington Nationals fan was saying, according to him and all his friends, they couldn't wait to see Harper get out of it because of the time that he misses and how much – He makes things a lot bigger. That's what that fan would say. I'm not saying I want to get rid of him. I love Bryce Harper. I think he's meant for Philadelphia. I just think that we need to start treating him the way we treat other athletes in this city.
Well, Dustin, the one thing that makes him, in my opinion, different than Joel is there was a track record of Joel not doing all that he could to get his body right. Like,
that's
to
true.
Me, there's a big difference
the
there, man.
Last year. Olympics last year. Why are you playing in
any number of things? I mean, I think the main thing is it all started with when he couldn't play the second season because he didn't rehab properly from the first season.
People forget about that.
Well, I don't.
I don't. Yeah. No, I don't.
I don't think many do, honestly. I mean, it's...
But the reason he missed the second was because he didn't... Remember?
I
do
remember.
Up in Las Vegas
and
was in flip-flops and they sent him home.
Yeah. Look, it was... Yeah. You got to have your body be your temple, as some people say, and it feels like he didn't treat it that way. And he and they as a team and us as a fan base have paid the price over years. There's no question. Dustin, give me an answer. Who or what blew it? It's got to be a non-sports answer today.
it's an athlete, but it's not to do with sports. How about Mike Tyson blowing all of his earnings filing bankruptcy in 2003?
Well, yeah.
That happens.
I mean, a lot of people have done it, so he's... What?
Speaking of the money, the Matt Damon answer, a better answer than we get. It is 10%. Well, there's a Variety article. Someone just sent it in.
Way.
He could have made $250 million if he'd taken that
way.
Role. So that's a pretty good answer.
Now, James, why do you just gloss over Tyson blowing his money? Like, a lot of people do.
I'm just saying, like, Mike Tyson, there have been a lot of athletes.
There have been.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's a less, you know, unique story than Matt Damon turning down
$250 million. You tell with teammates, and I'm certainly not asking you to name names, but could you tell there were teammates that were overspending and overgiving? Because one of the problems also is sometimes you give out money to family and friends. Like, could you sense that in the moment?
Oh, man. It was, well, I told you, like, I was a rep for our union.
Yep.
You know, like, and the big thing was, guys, they will not just match your contribution to your 401k. The NFL will double.
That's incredible.
Your contribution. Yeah. I don't know of any company in the world that does this. So I'm just trying to encourage what seems like common sense. Right. Like, guys, you just contribute the maximum and they will double the money. It's free money.
They're
just giving you this money.
You're right.
But you have to invest it now. Like, sock it away now. And that's when everyone was just like, nope.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it. It's just a different mentality. And then a lot of it was, the writing was on the wall. It was very clear.
I always feel bad when you know
in the parking lot, too.
Dude, I was just going to say, listen, it's one thing to have one car. But when there's athletes sometimes that have like eight cars, it's like, dude.
And it's
like, well, and to Richie's point, a lot of people don't get, even in normal schools, you don't get like schooling on how to manage your money, on how to like, which is probably a mistake.
It is a mistake.
But like a lot of these kids coming into these leagues without any sort of, and if they're not willing to take what the league is offering, like how do they know any better?
I agree, James. Right. I didn't know at 19 or 20. I didn't.
Me either, man. Way. I wish I could go back and be like, hey, idiot. Like,
and then
do it this way.
Correct. Who you've depended upon for your entire life for guidance and help, like the adults. Now you've got more assets than they do.
You're supporting them.
Yeah.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.